Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. And, of course, we have our resident bird here, Dixie. So if you hear a sound, oh, that's her. She's acknowledging it. Yes, I hear her talking, and she must be on the phone because she's not talking to me. Anyways, tonight we have part two of our topic, holes in the soul. And last week we discussed it, and we're going to be doing it again tonight. And, of course, I have with me my the lovely Maya Moon. I always say that about her. But, anyways, Maya, how are you tonight? Good?
I'm good. I'm good. Glad to be here, as always. And how are you? Doing good?
Yes, I'm doing good, except my voice kind of got a little raspy. I don't know. But it just means I'm talking too much. You know, that's God's way of saying, Natalie, you're speaking too much. You're just talking too much. But I didn't really – well, I guess I talked to a few people today, but I'm doing really well otherwise, yeah. I'm not feeling any holes in my soul at the moment, but we will discuss that. And, of course, you know, I will tell you quickly what I've been doing is National Geographic had their cat week last week, all about the big cats, the lions and tigers and cheetahs and jaguars and all of that. So I really got a great lesson in all of the cats. And, of course, I saw my giraffes and I like the male lions. Those babies are really big. But anyways, that's what I've been doing at night. So I've got all these episodes recorded. But anyways, let's get on to our topic tonight, Holes in the Soul, Part 2. Last week we talked about the things that can happen throughout our life, my life, Maya's life, and how we get wounds and things over the years. And sometimes they don't really get repaired. Sometimes we don't even know that they're there. Is that correct, Maya?
Right, right. We have a lot of coping skills that are not healthy. And, you know, in some instances, at that moment to get through that trauma, whether it was as a child or as an adult, at the time, that coping skill may be the best thing to get you through at the moment. But what happens is when we continue those dysfunctional coping skills, then that's when we start to, you know, fracture and pull away from our spiritual connection, and that's what causes the holes or the tears to, and then, you know, we have to heal ourselves emotionally just like we would physically, but then we have to heal ourselves spiritually, because without our spirit being healed, then we're much too vulnerable for something else to come along and be a trigger. Or, you know, I mean, obviously people that have gone through some severe traumas are always going to be like PTSD. You know, they're always going to have that little bit of, you know, trauma that they carry with them. But what we want to try to do is to try to work to lessen it. Because unfortunately, when we disconnect with our spiritual self or our core being, whatever you want to call it, it's an automatic process where we're not, you know, we're apathetic. So we have no emotions, not deep emotions. We're not able to connect with other humans, carry relationships. I mean, it can go from being very minor to being very serious.
Yeah, you know, and like I always use myself as an example, losing my husband and having to take care of him for so many years, I would imagine that that did something to me, inside to my soul, and I really didn't, you don't really know it at the time. I mean, you know you're going through something, no matter what it is, or somebody passing, whatever it is, it's traumatic to you. You won't know maybe till years down the road when you experience something, and then you wonder, why do I feel this way? What, you know, I mean, I'm still carrying it. I don't do it. It's not as bad, you know, but I don't think you ever recover. But mine was probably more like post-traumatic stress, and that you never get rid of that. I mean, you can help it along and recognize what it is. But, you know, relationships, losing a job, all of these do something to us. And like you said, sometimes it takes, well, for me, it took years, really, to know that. And I didn't even realize it because I didn't know, not to say I'm not too intelligent, but I really didn't know that it could do that to your soul. I had no idea. And then, you know, I think back even as I was a little girl, and you probably remember things too. So what does a person do, Maya, when they recognize something and they say, well, you know, this is too much. I'm feeling this way too much. What do they do? Do they go to therapy? Do they just do some kind of work on their own? I'm sure there's things, everything, the internet has everything. You can do a search on anything and find out, get the material that you really need, print it out, and there you go. Or you can probably get a book that will help you work through some of these things. And these are actual, maybe you should tell what a soul is, Maya, so people will know, well, how does the soul get damaged? How does it get a hole in it?
Well, the soul gets damaged when we disassociate, when our emotional pain is to such a degree that the only way we can cope is to disassociate from ourselves. So, like, for instance, hardcore addicts, that's what they're doing. That's a symptom, and it is a disease, but almost always you'll find something, you know, at the base of that. For other people, it could be losing a family in a fire, or like you, losing your husband. There's just different levels, and different people were all made differently. So that's how it begins. It begins because we are unable to face mothers that lose their babies to SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. So these are just some examples. They don't have to be that traumatic to cause damage. But we, as we're going through the process, we're just unable, or at least we feel unable and unequipped to deal with going through the hurt and the pain. And so we avoid it either by shutting off our emotions or turning to alternate ways. Whenever we do that, which is a disassociation from ourselves, because if we associate with ourselves, then we have to associate with what happened. Whenever we disassociate, that causes our spiritual being, that causes the cares, and it causes upset and fractures in the spiritual being, because we have to stay connected to that. That protects us, and it gives us the drive and empowers us. So if we're starting back on the journey, it just kind of depends on what, you know, what your experience was and what appeals to you. Counseling, you can go see psychic experts, are very good with helping at stuff like that. Meditation, grounding, learning how to be empowered, learning how to reconnect to people and to your spirit. And, you know, you can do that by learning to feel things and trying to get in touch with your feelings, instead of when somebody says, how do you feel? Instead of thinking it, oh, I feel good. You really need to start understanding, you know, how do I feel? Do I feel good? Do I feel bad? Do I feel sad? And so, I mean, for some people, it can be a long, arduous journey.
Right. What about, I was just thinking when we were talking about that, is like, sometimes you see people and they've suffered a loss, like somebody passed away, a child, a husband, whatever, and they don't really recognize it. They try to just go about their daily routine and be the same, but they really didn't give themselves the time to think about what happened and how it affected them. That's probably part of it, too. I've seen people like that. You look at them and you would never know something major happened to them. Last week we talked about that twin girl, remember? Well, today.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yes, today where did I see it? Oh, I heard it on the radio that they've put a monument at her school and the entrance, something there, and they've got a fund going now, an educational fund for her. And there's one other thing that they were going to do, and I can't remember what it was, but we were just talking about that, and I wasn't really that surprised to hear about it. It's not even been a year, but we talked about her, how that I'm more concerned with the little girl that's left, and more so yeah. than her parents, because she was adopted. Both of them were adopted. And I don't think either one of them had strong family ties, but I'm more concerned, and I must talk to my granddaughter this weekend. She was at NASA last weekend, so I'm going to get with her and ask her how one was Grace and one was Faith, and I believe it's Grace. Isn't that how I always say under Grace? It was Grace. They lost Grace. And to me that, you know, it's just so – how did they get through that? You know, we had a family. It was her second marriage, and her and the little baby, the younger child, there was a young child with her second husband, and she was home, and the rest of them went on a plane. He was flying, and they all died. There was four of them, just like that, husband and three kids. I have not forgotten that, Maya. That has been quite a few years ago, and I often think about her. How did she manage to go on? Talk about a hole in your soul. That would be pretty, pretty big, or many of them. And I think, don't you think that you can have many of them? You can have several. It doesn't just have to be a tear. One tear, it could be two tears. Maybe part of it is recognizing and talking about it. I didn't talk to people very much when I lost my husband. I would go to lunch, I think I'd tell you, or go shopping with my two girlfriends, and I would just follow them around. I didn't do anything. I was like a little doll walking with them. I mean, I didn't look through clothes. I didn't care. I was like in this other world. I went because I enjoyed them, and my son always said to me, and I think I've expressed this before, Mom, you have to go when they ask you, because then they're going to stop asking you.
Right,
and
right.
They're the only two, you know, that I have that are close to me here. And but I was definitely had that going on with me. I just functioned. That's all I did. I was working on stars, creating it, but really to say I was involved in communication or I wasn't. I went every time, but I can't say that I had a good time because I was there, but I wasn't really there. I don't know. So that was probably a hole in my soul, just probably many of them that I had as a little girl. But, you know, sometimes you just really don't recognize it in time or soon enough. I should not say in time. It goes years, and maybe something I think will trigger it. Something else will happen, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, I haven't gotten over that. I mean, you know. Is that possible, Maya? You know more about this than I do. I can just tell you what's happened to me.
No, that happens quite often where, you know, someone goes through, and as far as those, there are many people that they lose a child, for example, or more than one child, and I think I might have mentioned this last time, they take all the pictures down and they never speak about it, they never bring up that
right.
person's name, and that's very, very unhealthy because it, you know, you can't avoid going through the pain by pretending it didn't happen and just saying, well, you know, we're all okay.
We're moving on. You're not really moving on. Left pictures up, I can't even remember how long. And then one time my son said, oh, Mom, where's the picture of Dad? It was a big one that we had at the memorial. You know, it was a small memorial, but my son just went, you know, he just adored his father. So he had this big picture made. And I said, oh, it's in the closet. And he was having me laughing. He says, well, Dad, you've gone to the closet now. But that was quite a few years. I am laughing about it. But it was like 3 years or so. And I left that picture on my dresser. And he was cremated with his urn in front of it. And we left for the hurricane. And my daughter-in-law said to me, you're not going to take Dad with you? And I said, no, that's not him. You know, I mean, that's, she takes things like that. That's how she feels about it and deals with it. I said, no, he's in the closet. But I didn't deal with it for a long time. And it's same as like with when somebody passes away in your life, and like if you've lived with them, you leave their stuff as is. You've heard of that before.
Yeah.
They don't move their clothes. I didn't do it either. I didn't have the heart to. But I'm real super sensitive, and I mean, I can tear up at one big male, a lion, you know, hurting a little cub. I mean, that just breaks my heart because I've been watching all of that this past week and all that stuff. But I could not toss anything away. However, what I did do is I brought a bunch of stuff out for my son. And I said to him, now you choose, you know, I would rather have my son have it. I gave some away, but the stuff, and he still wears it to this day. Some of these, you know, he'll have a T-shirt under, and then he'll have this other heavy thing on in the mornings, and one of them is his dad's. He wears it all the time. He wears several of them and some of his T-shirts. So that makes me feel kind of good. So the separation for me, I was giving it to my son and made him feel good. And it served a purpose for me, though, see, because it allowed me to fix that hole a little bit, just kind of a little adhesive or something in it, you can call it. And now I'm much, much better than I was. But I can tell you from even losing a pet, same thing can happen with losing a pet. I mean, you know that, Maya. You've experienced it. So has probably a lot of our listeners. I mean, that's like a part of your family. And you could tell somebody else that, and they'd look at you like you were crazy. But it's true. I mean, I've lost many pets. Now I have Mushy. But it can put a hole in your soul, too, because it's something that you love. Now, tell me something, Maya. Does it have to be something that you're fond of that would cause that hole? I guess it could probably be a job, if you lost a job, right? It could affect you like that too, right?
Right, right. It could. I mean, yes. I mean, pretty much anything.
I mean, if you had a long-term job, I mean, you were with it for 10 years, everybody around you knew, you know, friends outside of work, then all of a sudden you're let go because of whatever. I mean, that would do a number on you. I think that's what we're saying here, is anything like that can really have an effect on you. And you think it's gone, but something will trigger it. It's not really gone. So, you know, like just the passing of somebody, leave their stuff up, recognize them, talk about them. My son and I talk about his dad all the time. I think it's healthy for him as well. He was very close to his dad. And his dad was good to him. I mean, you know, they never got into any arguments or anything, but, you know, my son was his pride and joy. And so I think that was okay, but my son still is bothered by things. And so what I do for him, because I see it, is I'll start to talk about it with him, you know, and we kind of give each other the feelings on it and things that they did together, we did together. And I think in my own way, I hope that I'm helping him fill that hole in his soul because of his day. I mean, it's just real. It's still really difficult. He really misses him. It was his best friend, you know. And so it's tough. It's really, really tough. And we could go on and on about that. You know, my friend that I lost in September, same thing. Although with that, Maya, I will say flying out there to be there at that last moment in time for her with my son, just my son and myself, I've discussed this before, I think it helped me in a way because, you know, I didn't cry. Isn't that strange? I didn't because I felt good. I felt I really, and that's something to consider, people that are listening. She waited for me. That was the whole thing. She waited for me, and I got there like within about 20 minutes or so, and I got to be with her and hold her, talk to her, and I miss her a lot, but I wasn't so sad that, of course, my goddaughter was there, and I had to hold her up, but I wasn't sad about it because she had suffered for so long, and what she did for me was, I don't know if anybody has experienced it before, but it's a wonderful feeling that you can be there at that moment, at that exact moment in time. Some people can, some people don't. You know, we were there for my husband. However, there was three of us there, and it was a different kind of thing. You know, I didn't hold him, but Barb, I did. It was just so, I knew it was important for her, you know, so sometimes things can get resolved that way for you. Like I said, I still miss her, but I really didn't cry in that. I don't know. Is that strange? Do you think that's strange that I didn't, or because I helped her to actually cross, I helped her right there. I did something for her at that moment in time that made it good for her. That's how I feel. Inside,
right.
That's how I
feel
about it.
So, to you, it was just a
change
of moving into another dimension,
yeah,
or another part of,
exactly,
life. To me, it wasn't a loss, and you could feel that, you know, feeling,
right,
her passing and all that. You could feel that where she was going on to was going to be easier,
right,
and better for her. So, no, I mean, now that not crying doesn't feel or sound like you were denying your feelings. It just sounds like you didn't have quite the sadness just because the experience was very different.
Right.
Right. Which most,
right,
people,
I was probably very fortunate. I'm sure some of our listeners have gone through it. You know, sometimes it's more a relief sometimes, but yeah. That was okay, and I will never forget it, and I'm very grateful for it. So, of course, it brought me really close to her daughter, which is my goddaughter, and I think that's good because I'm helping her. See, that's what happened. It got transferred. I'm helping her now to live her life, and every day we either text or talk, and it's really good. She'll send me pictures. We laugh, you know. And she'll tell me she's having a bad day, and she always asks me about mine. And if I have to be careful because I can never tell her, or I don't tell her that I'm having a bad day, because I'm trying to have her. I don't want her to feel sorry for me if I'm having a bad day. So she'll say, "How's everything going?" "Oh, it's okay. It's good." And I'll send her hearts, or we're on the phone. Of course, you can't really fake it on the phone, but. But, see, that's what that did for me. Not everybody is that fortunate that, you know, I mean, sometimes there are just times when the loss of something, and we could go to a job. We don't have to talk about somebody passing. You know, like I said, this job that was so important that you were so, and I had a job like that, too. I can remember real lots of holes in my soul. I had a job that I loved. I loved it. And that week before I left, it was horrible driving home. Because I knew what was going to happen. I knew I was going to have to make that decision because it was like somebody tightening a noose around your neck. Somebody was squeezing, and I knew it wasn't comfortable for me, you know, at all. And that was the hardest thing I ever had to do, was leave that job. It was just perfect for me, and it took me a long time, really, to even, we had a business that my son was running, and it took me a long time to even be able to go there and not think about all the years I spent at this job that I just loved, you know, and that probably did a number on me, too, so I've had a lot of numbers done on me, but I'm still here, and I can still laugh, but it's taken time. That's the thing, is it's taken time. So, and not everybody was raised like I was and all of that. So everybody has different issues, but it can be a job, it can be a pet. Even moving from the area that you were born and raised in, that could do that too, right, Maya? And you go to some off-beaten, like say you're in a more of a residential, lots of people, and you go to the country. I mean, that would be really hard to do. That would be a loss. You would feel that because here you are. I mean, it depends upon your life, I suppose, but you would still feel a loss. You're around a lot of people and neighbors, and now you're off out in the boonies, so to speak, and you're by yourself. Some people like that, but that would be a real transition. Maybe that's what it probably is a transition that you have to get an adjustment to. But that can cause trauma in your life. That for some, it can. I mean, maybe you didn't want to move, but you had to move, you know. I can think of a lot of times for me, and I'm sure you can, Maya. Why don't you? You can talk a little so I don't completely lose my voice.
Yeah, well, I mean, any type of transition or change has the potential to, you know, to cause us harm. A lot of it is, you know, being able to face it. It's okay. You know, it's actually healthy for us to feel pain and admit and accept that, you know, this is a bad thing, whether it's a job ending or a relationship ending or a move. You know, whenever we go forward to gain something, we always make a sacrifice. So for somebody that's in the city that decided to move out to the country, there's going to be great things, but there are going to be things that are missed and wished for. And the same is true. Somebody that's lived in the country that decides,
right,
you know, for their job, they need to be in the city, they need to be closer to a doctor or something like that, that's a big change. So all those things, the best way that we can keep our soul intact as much as possible is just to accept and to, you know, identify and own our feelings and be okay with, it's not so much a matter of time, like, well, you can only be sad for this long, or you should, you know, only grieve or feel bad about a job or whatever it is for this long. It's just a matter of just being able to acknowledge and say, you know, this is, you know, taking a toll on me. This has caused me, you know, it's shaken me to the core. And, you know, a lot of times what we'll feel, again, we might disassociate, but we might feel, you know, a little bit like we aren't in touch with ourselves, like we don't have feelings. We can't,
right,
we can't feel our feelings. And those are all, you know, things to watch out for, because that's something telling you that, you know, you're starting to disconnect. So you pull yourself back in with, you know, with that and empowerment and, you know, relating to other people, even if it's on a small level, even if it's just saying hello in the beginning to people that you see at the store or whatever, that's at least a start. So, and
yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm thinking too that maybe a lot of this is because we're not really prepared. Candy just mentioned that in the room, that some things we are not prepared for. Losing a job, you probably would get a notice about it. But that won't stop it from being traumatic for you. That,
no.
Not if you loved it. I mean, and I know. Not if you loved it. It wouldn't have mattered if you chose to leave or whatever. But I think I guess you can be prepared. Maybe when you're prepared, it's a little bit easier. Is that what you think, Maya?
I don't know. I mean, maybe to a point, but I mean, during the time of the preparation, we may have a little bit of time to get our footing, but I don't know when the boom lowers if it's really going to make that big of a difference. I suppose it could. It just depends. I mean, it's the same thing with if someone's ill and we know they're ill, you know, I mean, it gives us more time maybe to complete what we need to do, so we have,
right,
we do have that, but
yeah,
you know, so
yeah, that's
that,
true.
I mean,
like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I've ever had time like with my friend, or you never really know. you really know? I don't know. It's really tough, but it does do a number on you, and you have to find a way to start to repair it. To maybe it's just doing things, being with good friends that you know really care about you. That's one way, I think, like what I did. But for me, it was just, it took me, I don't know, several years, I think. This year, or the last 3 or 4 months, I mean, I had to call this lady that I hadn't talked to in a while, and she said, you know, you really sound good. I said, I do? She says, yes, there's something different in your voice. Your voice is lifted. Well, my voice always can get lifted if I'm talking about stars or talking about, like, you, Maya, or Candy, or whatever. Yes, something that I love. Yes, I can lift you right out of your chair. But she noticed something. We have heat pumps here, and I had to ask her about the contract that I always do every year. And she kept saying to me, she said, no, there's something different. She said, do you have a boyfriend? I said, no. She says, oh, my gosh, you're going to be through the roof when you do. She says, and that made me feel really good because somebody recognized it. And, of course, one of my friends said, too, she says, you look different. You just look different. You're not carrying the weight of the world. Like, I don't know. It does something to you, and sometimes it just never goes away. Or it will kind of, that little hole will stay there until something else comes in to tear it apart a little more. You know, it'll go back in there and dig it out a little bit more. But that's part of life. You know, everybody has things. Everybody has things that happen to them. It's just a matter of how do you deal with it. And, you know, like Maya said, you know, you can go to Stars. I have an awful lot of people there that they're of love. They care. And, you know, some places you'll go to, and I don't usually promote Stars that much, but some places you'll go to and you don't really – they're like little robots, and I really care. All the clients, I welcome them to the Stars family. That's the email I send to them, and I do it on my personally. It's not automated, so I think that makes people feel really good. And maybe these people that come even to all the sites, maybe they're looking for something. Maybe they're trying to repair something, fix something. And so oftentimes you'll get somebody who you just resonate with. And like Maya, I know, for example, she really helped me. It was a very, very tough time for me. And my other friend, Ricky, who does reviews for the magazine, she stars Rainbow Rose. You know, you kind of lean on them. They probably get tired of you not being, I don't know, up or whatever. I know there were times, Maya, when you probably thought, oh, God, when is she going to get a grip, right? Did you think that?
No,
it's because we're like sisters, you know, and so you just hang in there and you hang in with that person and just grab them by the hand, just like my friends grab me by the hand and, come on, let's go, we're going to go. And really, if you're lucky enough or blessed, I should say, to have people like that around you and have a child like I have, like my son, I always brag. Well, I don't really always brag about him, but he really is a really good son. But he promised his father that he would take care of me and that he could leave. And that's I was there when he said it, and he is keeping to his promise. I will take care of Mom. Don't you worry. You can go now. And that's exactly what happened. And he has done it. And, you know, you have to lean on people. You have to do things for others. Like even for me, I mean, if one of my friends needed me, like, you know, my friend Diane's, her father is ill and he's home now. But I call her, we call, talk every day on checking in. I want to see what's going on and all of that. And I think you should be, hopefully you're surrounded with good people that can help you get through some really tough times, because we know everybody's going to be faced with it. You're not exempt. It happens to everyone. And I'm surrounded. I mean, I've got, look what I have around me. And I am blessed, you know, and I say that to myself a lot. But sometimes you still get pulled down and you sit there and, you know, why can't I have this? Why can't I have that? And as far as, you know, I think about losing a job because I left my job. I kept telling myself, well, there's a reason. Something else better is coming. Something better for me, not for what field I was in, because I was in tennis, not for that, but something for me. And what it was is I got to work with my son at the business, and that was the, I mean, I think that really helped to heal me, because here I've got my son, you know, showing, he was showing me all how to do this and how to do that, and I think that really, really helped at that time in my life when I needed it. But I sat home, I didn't do anything for a few weeks, and I was offered other jobs, but nothing was as good as this one that I had. But the one with my son, of course, was better, because I get to be with him. And, you know, I mean, if you had to compare the two, somebody said, well, you want to work with your son, you know, or do you want to do this? Well, I would choose my son. So it was, that was good for me. That worked out good for me. So I don't know. It's it can be scary, and but at the same time, sometimes it opens up other doors for you. And you really, the whole thing for me is you have to believe in what you can't see. I say this all the time. Just know that what you need, if you really believe, it'll come to you. You'll get something. There'll be a turn around the corner. You'll be turning the corner and, okay, yeah, this is good. Or you'll have chances for different doors to open for you. And I have always been of the mind that if I get several doors to open, like I had when I lost, well, I quit that job. I didn't lose it. They didn't fire me. But if I, you know, I had a couple doors and I chose not to go through the one because I knew, I just knew I didn't want to do it, you know. And then I had the chance with my son, and I went right through the door, and there I was. It was the best thing that I could have taken. So, but when you lose people, that's so different than a job. You know, I think for me, it was just so different. Losing a pet can be very devastating, and I can ask Maya about that, and her and I have discussed that. That's a part of you. Those little animals become a part of you. And, you know, it's funny. Since I've been watching all this cat stuff, I've been watching Muji, and he is so much like the male lion. It's unreal. Now I'm learning about him, say. But I just seek things. And 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I wouldn't have bothered. I don't even know what I did all those years, work on the site and do my usual thing, my magazine and all that. But you just have to keep trying. You can't stop. You have to keep trying. And hopefully those little holes, little scars that you have, the wounds and all that that has damaged you over the years will start to, I like to say, they'll fill in with even like a little putty, and it'll be better for you. And then you'll be able to turn another corner and do something else. It takes time, though, Maya, doesn't it?
It does. And, you know, I was going to say, you were saying how the person was saying that there's something different about you. You just seem different. You look different.
Yeah.
Well, that to me would be a sign that somehow just in the process of living and going through life and working through your emotions that you have repaired some of the damage to your soul. Because when people see that light and that inside of us, and that change, that comes from our spirit or our soul.
Right, right. Well, yeah, that makes sense. And being here on Monday nights talking all this time, I'm sure has had made a difference for me, you know, because I'm able to express myself. And, I mean, I could talk for hours probably on anything. I guess, I don't know, I don't think I could. I mean, I just say that to be funny, but I don't. But, yeah, that was a great compliment she gave me, you know, to say that to me. And I hung up, and I thought, wow. But then I think it was like last week or something, my friend Diane, she looked over at me and she said, you're finally here. And I said, what do you mean? She said, that look that you had, and I've told this to you, Maya, I was like a wounded deer. That's what I was walking around. And she said, you know, your face looks better. You have sparkle in your eyes. And she said, I'm really wondering if anything could really keep you down, get you down. I said, oh yeah, something could. Yeah, don't ever figure that it's a piece of cake or a cakewalk for you. But she said, I've noticed this, and I meant to tell you the last time. We usually spend time a couple times a week or something. Go to the store and all that kind of stuff. But she noticed it and she told me. And that made me feel good too, because people don't always tell you you look you look good. And compared to what I was like before, and same thing with my voice. And I'm sure, Maya, you noticed it too. You can tell right away when somebody is feeling better, seems to be better. And we always use me as an example because of the way my life was. But, yeah, I still have bad days, but they don't drag me down to the earth. And through the earth, they don't do that to me like they used to. And I'm more light about things, you know, and I try to put off the very best that I can. Some days it's really hard to do that. Somebody will call you. My son is one. He always knows when he calls. He always say, well, how are you today? Oh, I'm okay. No, you're not. He hears it in my voice. He knows. I can't fool him. But yeah, it's been much, much better. And so that's something to say to the listeners, that it does get better. You might not think it, but it does. And I was where you are when you say, no, nope, it's not going to get better. I was there, too. I was there, too. I would say, no, I don't see how it can get any better. How can it get better, you know? Well, just, you know, whatever you believe in, let the magic work for you. Let it come to you. Be open for it. But when you're hurting, sometimes you just really can't, you know. You can't. Yes. You close yourself off, and you just have to go through the process. So if you have faced some trauma, no matter what it was, it could have been, how about even a car accident? How traumatic that is. I mean, a really bad one. That could be very traumatic, and that could really do a number on you, and that would be the same kind of thing, wouldn't it, Maya? That would put a tear or a hole in your soul, because it's you're afraid now. This is you now. Maybe you don't want to drive anymore, or you don't want to go out walking anymore. That's traumatic, all of that. And so are we saying here, Maya, that most things in life that are traumatic really do put a hole in our soul, or is there kind of like only certain things? Maybe you can talk about that for a few minutes.
Well,
I mean, I'm talking about what I think, but I don't know. I'm not, you know.
The way it's taught to me, it's not so much what happens, it's how we process it and how we handle it. If we are able to get through, it could be something like a school shooting at, you know, even if no one you knew personally passed away in your neighborhood, it could be a tornado. I mean, we can go on and on about what could cause this, but it's more how you deal with it. So you have to be really careful when something does happen, and it's not that you have to force yourself or rush yourself through it, but what is important is that you accept that this is what it is, like what you said. You know, when you're in that moment, you're grief-stricken, whatever the cause is, or how, you know, whatever happened, in a car accident, been to war, whatever, you have to keep saying, right now, it feels like this is all I have, but I'm just going to keep remembering that maybe someday I'll be out of this place, and you have to stay connected to your spiritual being. When you start disconnecting and you start finding yourself, like what the advice your son gave you was excellent advice, because what would have happened if you would have cut yourself off, they would have stopped inviting you and you would have gotten lonelier and lonelier. So, I mean, and that's true with all of us. So we need to rely on our friendships, or just do anything, any kind of interaction with people, meditation, like you said, online, there's all kinds of, and what my guys are asking me to bring up too is that in many cases, believe it or not, it may not sound like it intermixes, but forgiveness is a huge milestone for many of us to heal. And sometimes it's survivor's guilt. Sometimes it's guilt. Even when we're the victim, we feel tainted or shamed, or a car accident, what could I have done different? I mean, very few of us as humans can go through a significant or traumatic event without having some what if I would have done this, what if I wouldn't have done this, you know. So that's another thing that, you know, to be on the alert for, is that you try not to get caught up in that, because that disconnects you. And when you start, you know, your actions start becoming more and more robotic. And
right,
you're
right,
feeling
exactly.
Then that's when you know it's gotten to your soul and it's time to really start reconnecting and recreating. And first we do
and
it emotionally.
Mine was a perfect example. That year and the next few years, I was like a robot. That's exactly
right.
Following everybody around and, you know, talking but not really talking and doing more listening. And it's not a good place to be in. It really isn't.
No, it isn't.
I mean, nobody can come up to you and shake you and say, I know this is not really you. I mean, this is not how you really are. That would have been great. Somebody would have grabbed me and shook me. You know, it takes time. It just takes a lot of time, and it depends upon what it is. What was so traumatic in your life that it does do a number on you, and we cannot deny that. It does. Some people just never get over, really get over. But I kind of, you know, for me, I was blessed really, again, and I say this all the time, is that I had a lot to do. I was busy. I was still doing my magazine and creating stars and working on that and working with my webmaster and bringing in new people and talking on the phone, and I talk to you a whole lot, and it really does help. It's kind of like somebody's got a little string around you, and they keep pulling you, and they're on one side, and they keep pulling at you. Come on, we can get you over here now. Come on, a little bit more, and just be grateful for those kind of people, because maybe someday you'll be able to do that for someone because you've gone through it. Probably for me, the most difficult thing was, I'm trying to think what it was. I mean, you know, I knew my husband wasn't going to survive. I knew that. Maybe I was preparing myself for quite a few years because I was home with him for so many years. I had to take care of him. So maybe you prepare yourself. Otherwise, maybe it would have been very devastating because he did everything. I mean, you know, we've talked about him. But, yeah, it was it's like your person that you can rely upon, and I'm sure people will listen to this and say, yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. Some people never get to where I am. Some people they hang on to that forever, for years and years and years, and that makes me feel bad that there are people out there like that. I mean, I'm still not perfect. I won't be perfect, but I'm just saying, so I had a girlfriend that said, you're working towards perfection. That's what it is. But I don't know about that. But some people just never deal with it right, and it hangs on to them the remaining years that they have. And those people I feel for, because, like I said, I just have great people around me, and I am just so lucky, you know. Candy has a question. How about the hidden holes, the ones that have been blocked out? Then all of a sudden the hole appears to someone. What would be recommended to handle things like that show up? So, I don't know. Can that happen? Hidden holes? I mean, ones that you've blocked out, then all of a sudden the hole appears to someone. Oh, the person recognizes that you're going through something that happened to you. I mean, is that possible, Maya? Maybe you can answer that.
Yeah.
I really can't.
Yeah.
Okay. What would you do to handle something like that?
Well, I mean, first of all, you'd have to trust the person, and then you'd have to stop and take a look at your life and you know, look at what doing that is demonstrating or showing that this is cropped up, that this has been hidden, and then it's the same recovery process as anything. First, you have to deal with that event. For some people, they can start to remember it if they try, and some people need to, early childhood traumatic events. Some believe it or not, we always carry the memory of it. And so you can try to working with yourself or working with an expert, you can try to bring that memory into focus, because then you need to heal it. The whole thing is the whole philosophy of this is, if a hidden hole comes up out of nowhere, it's a symbol, it's a meaning, it's a warning or an alert, if you will, that you need to deal with this because it's preventing in some way the fulfillment of your potential.
Now that makes sense, a lot of sense, a whole lot of sense to me, and I'm sure it does, and I'm sure it does to Candy as well. I think she would probably agree to that. But yeah, I think you're right, because you've been harboring something inside for a very long time, and something else could happen. If you don't deal with that, something down the road could happen, and it will really mess you up. And so it's probably best. That's why a lot of people, I guess, when they suffer a loss or job, whatever, they go to somebody like a therapist, because they sit and talk about it. I would imagine that's what you could do. I never had the desire to do that. I just figured there was strength inside me, and I just figured that, and my belief system, I just figured that it would all work out somehow. But it's amazing. You know, life can be so complex. And if you, I mean, everybody's got these little holes that could be huge. They could be really big. Something massive happened to you. Does that occur, like if it's something to really, really a big hole, say, for example, something major happened? Do you think you can really deal with that sooner than if it's a tiny tear, Maya?
I think that if it's something really significant, it's going to be very unlikely that you can do it without some type of professional help, whether that's a clergyman, if you're religious, mm-hmm. or that's a traditional psychological counselor or therapist, or that's working with an expert that does healing or Reiki or, you know, energy, works with, you know, energy, or just even talking, even writing. But, you know, for something that's just really, really huge, and those are the people that are most likely in danger of, like, suicide and addiction, because
right. yeah.
the memory is just absolutely too painful. And it's usually something that happened as a child when they're very vulnerable, and so they take on the shame and the guilt and so on and so forth. So those are serious, and, you know, people can get lost when things like that happen. And by lost, I mean they just never find their way back. Hopefully most people are able to find their way back, but some people just don't, and they live a life, you know, we talked about, you felt like a little bit of a robot, which would be normal
right.
for a while considering what happened. But no matter what tragedy has struck you, and I mean the general you, not you personally, but if it's been 5, 6, 7, 9, 10 years and you haven't taken any forward steps, then something's wrong. You're not dealing with the problem. You're not dealing with the emotions. And if you don't deal with the emotions, then you can't fix your spiritual.
Right. I'm just trying to look back. I mean, I didn't read. I don't even know what I did. Sat outside a lot. Here and there, I would sometimes I'd be busy with my friends a few times a week. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. It just was a process, and talking to people like you. And but you have to trust, though, too. Sometimes people will go to a therapist, and if you don't really resonate with them, then that's the wrong one. I feel that way anyways. I told you this before. I've always felt that I would rather go to somebody that I know loves me and knows me and really cares, because that's the person I'm going to listen to. But that might be because of my intelligence, because that's how I feel inside. Now, other people are cut and dry. The intellects, you know, they might say, nope, I got to hear, I want to know why. What book did this come from? And you have a degree, so you must know what you're talking about. Well, see, I'm at the other end of that. I feel that you surround yourself. But again, I talked to you the most probably, Maya, more so than anybody else, because I knew you loved me and I loved you and I trusted you. Now, how can you go to a therapist, and that's not saying don't go, but make sure you've got some kind of a nice feeling with this person, resonate with them. Do they understand you, or do they sit there and ask you a bunch of questions? And they're kind of like pulling things out of you. See, my therapy was different. I had Maya. And it's true, Maya. I had you. I mean, I still have you. If I, if I had issues or something, Maya, we have to talk. This is not good. This is not good. But it's taken me all this time. It's going to be 5 years in April, so it's taken me a really long time. Even the first time, we always went to Disney. I'm going to quickly tell you about that. With my son and myself, we would go, and my husband, we'd go to Disney every year. Well, the first time my son wanted me to go by myself, I was a little afraid because there are just so many places that I could pick up that memory, see that, and it would bother me. That's what I thought. But I went, and him and I, he was with me every step of the way, and he would even say to me, remember that spot over there, Mom? And I said, yeah, I remember. He said, me, you, and Dad sat there, and blah, blah, whatever. He remembered all of that. So in a way, I was probably helping him. So that worked out well for both of us. And I just thought of that, that I thought he was just helping me, but maybe I was really helping him too. But it's taken 5 years. It'll be 5 years, and I don't know where the time went. I really don't. I can't even tell you what it was the 2 years, after the passing. I couldn't even tell you what that was like. All I know, and I don't think, I just walked around. I was just very sad, like a wounded deer. That's what I was. I told you that, Maya. That's how I felt, a wounded deer, that I couldn't be fixed, and I was walking around with this injury, and I didn't know what to do, and that's how I explained it. But I can tell you that if you find that right person that you know is you can trust, and it could be a therapist. Sometimes therapists are really, really good, so I can't say that they are not. But just make sure that you have this nice feeling and you can be open and discuss your losses so that when it comes up again, you're not hit so hard. But, there's no guarantees of anything. And I just hope everybody can help to fix the holes in their souls, because I work on it all the time. It never goes away. So with that, I guess, well, we're close to the end here, Maya. But as always, it's, we always have nice discussions. And if you look at the blog tomorrow, Maya Moon always writes something, and I post it there. It always pertains to the show. And it's always good. And I always feel that, I mean, her posts are really beautiful, so you really need to read them. I have other posts in there, but not like what she writes. I mean, this is coming right from her. She's channeling that information, and especially on Tuesdays. I mean, she makes me feel like a little princess sitting high atop sometimes, because I even sent her a text last week. I said, you really feel that way about me? She wrote back. She says, yes, I do. That's you. So, see how she is? That's what I'm telling you. She's just totally awesome. So if you want to go to somebody, go to her. Go to Stars Priestess Candy Ranson. She's in the room. She does all the marketing. Two top drawer people that I have. I have others, but, I talk a lot to Candy. Candy's had a rough road, and she regards me as like her mother. Oh, dear. I'm somebody else's mother. But I try and do my best. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to you, Maya.
Okay, well, I just want to say good night, and hopefully it's given everyone a little bit to think about and consider. And if you feel that you might have some holes in your soul, then start working first with your emotions and start putting those back together. We're always going to have a little tear here or there, but what we want to avoid is those things that are so significant that they affect our life or keep us back or become obstacles. So God bless everyone, and we'll see you next Monday.
Right, and you have a great week, and I'm sure I'll talk to you, Maya, and everybody have a great week. And, no, Candy, I love you. I know you're in the chat. And, of course, Maya Moon knows how much I love her. And I think everybody should just keep working on yourself. Don't give up. That's the bottom line. Just keep one foot after the other moving forward. And with that, we'll see you next week, same time, same station. And just know that we at STARS love all of you, and I love all of you. So it's going to be a good week. And remember to do things under grace. You can't go wrong when you do that. Okay, good night, everyone. Bye-bye.